we'd started.
Action.
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 So, I mean, I'm not really a told you so kind of guy.
Okay.
But was our bet with Apple Vision, like, you already lost?
Well, according to Business Insider, I'll wait for some more reliable reliable rags before I call it, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, they would have to be off by like four times. But yeah, I will say that you said 50,000 units and I spotted you a million.
I said 20,000 units.
Oh, look at that.
And you spotted me 980,000.
I'm still saying that I'm spotting you 980.
It's so not going to sell a million units.
I think it will.
Okay, William citing an article that the Apple Vision Pro has sold 200,000 units. Now, I want to hand wave around that for a second. Give me a moment.
No, pump the brakes.
I know something about retail, and that could mean that 200,000 people have ordered it, but it also could mean that retail outlets have ordered units to put on shelves.
Like Best Buy or something.
To the tune of 200,000 units.
That makes sense.
And I want to say, if that's what it means, they're in trouble.
You're not...
They're in trouble either way, dude. This is not going to happen. I'm telling you.
You're still there.
Oh, I'm not saying that it won't hit a million or whatever. I'm saying that this will not become a going concern category for Apple for 10 years.
Well, you know, we did a back and forth the other day about it and on that one review that we both watched. And it was an interesting view. And it was a little silly from Wall Street Journal. But yeah. She even put the goggles on and like was skiing with it. She did some funny stuff with it. One of the things she did with it was cook. And they had like spatial timers, which I thought is a great idea.
Super cool.
You're like, set a timer for 10 minutes, and then you literally take it in the virtual world and drop it over the pot that's boiling.
Yeah.
You know? And so I thought that was kind of cool. But what's the practicality of like actually cooking with that thing on? But
I'm not going to have boiling water like lingering around my fingers and wear goggles. I'm going to look.
Yeah, but is it protecting your eyes?
I'm going to look.
It's protecting your eyes.
So look, it's going to, there is an X factor, and it's the same X factor, by the way, that applies to Meta, which is, you know, Facebook. The X factor is this. I said this before. Once I did the math on the cash reserves of Apple, and I concluded at the time, I don't know if they've done stock buyback since, but I concluded at the time that Apple could operate for 150 years and not make a nickel, and just spend their cash.
Yeah, they're crazy.
So my point is, like, if they decide that Vision is going to be a thing, and if they spend all their money on it, like, maybe.
Well, so
but
here's
like,
where
the market will not support Google Vision or Apple Vision Quest Pro as a thing. Is it Quest? Did I just make that up?
Quo plus 2K.
I don't know. It won't support that for 10 years. But maybe in 10 years, if they spend another $1 trillion, they can get it to where it's cooler and it's sunglasses.
So here's how I'm taking it. I watched the review. I was less excited. But I was more excited about some of the practicality uses of it. I think that the fact that
all the things they did in that review, you can do with your son's $500 headset.
No, you can't.
No, they aren't doing it.
No, you can't because it's not an AR. It's a VR. You can't look through it.
You can look through it with black and white. They have a camera that lets you see your environment around you. They don't use it that way. But they could.
They
have spatial. They could capture the spatial sensitive like around you. They could fix things in space. They capture hand gestures, all those things.
But here's my aha moment. Okay. My aha moment was this.
Yeah.
I remember platinum TVs. Remember those?
Yes.
Before you know, basically
platinum TVs. No, not, I don't.
Plasma.
There you go.
Platinum.
Yeah.
And I remember the first plasma TV, and I think it was like a 50-inch, and it was like $10,000. But that was the leap from the pixelated version of the tube TV.
Yeah, the tube TVs.
To HD,
to
right?
To a flat TV.
It was the first.
The idea of a flat TV was so intoxicating.
Yeah.
It was just so intoxicating.
So it had a really cool idea. Everybody loved the idea of flat screen. And then the other thing was the actual picture was so much better.
Yeah.
So you could see the dimples of the golf ball and you could see the blades of the grass with the dew on it. I mean, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
However, they were 10 grand.
Yeah.
They were so much money. And so what I'm looking at Apple Vision.
And who bought those? And who bought those 10 grand?
Super rich people.
Super rich people who are predominantly what age?
I don't know. Old.
Predominantly old people bought giant TVs to watch golf. That's literally the use case. Continue. We're gonna put a pin in that, and I'm gonna circle back to it.
He's setting up my argument to die. Okay. No, I really do think there's an early adopter situation here, and I do think that this is their way of, okay, we've gotten it far enough to where we kind of need a little bit of revenue to continue to go to the next level. I think it's going to get lighter. I think it's going to get more dialed in. I think with more feedback, they're going to have more options. I think that they're also, you know, there's a lot of ambiguity of who's really going to buy this, right? So if they find out that, oh, these are just early adopters that are really jazzed about a new toy and it's going to, you know, you just told me about retention rate on your game over 90 days and how you track it. The question, I wonder if they're going to be able to track, like, how often people pick it up? How often do they use it? What are they using? Stuff like that. And they do track that kind of stuff. And I think that that's going to inform the next feature set, the next level that they can go to. So I'm not looking at this as a done product, which Apple normally does, right? They usually release something that's done.
Yep.
I think that what they've done is released a pretty cool beta version of something that eventually will become Tony Stark type glasses. But I keep saying this, we kept talking about Tony Stark, but the truth is that Tony Stark's inside of a helmet. It's a really controlled environment.
No, he has those sunglasses too. So
yeah, so I think it's gonna.
I think we've plumbed the depths of this. My only my counterpoint is this:
only old people did it, and no old people are gonna buy this.
No
thing.
Old people are gonna buy this headset.
No old people are gonna buy it.
And certainly not in bulk. It's no the problems of this. Okay, here's what it needs to succeed. It only needs one thing to succeed. One thing, and it is an irreplaceable core use case. That's all it needs.
Totally agree.
So it has all the cool. It has cool top to bottom.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have if I don't get to use it for this, I'm going to lose my mind because I love using it for that so much. That's what happened with the iPhone. The iPhone had like a core case. I would argue that core case is instant messaging. I think that is the core use case of the iPhone, and everyone has to have it. Because before we were doing that weird non-keyboard, ugly texting, and when we use messaging now, it's beautiful. And there's videos and there's images, and that's the core case of the phone.
For the iPhone.
Of the iPhone. But
the problem is, we haven't identified the core case of the Vision Pro.
And we haven't identified the core case of the Apple Watch. That's why the Apple Watch, and that's been a successful product because it's cheap enough.
I agree with you there.
$300 and it's cool,
okay.
But it doesn't have a core case.
I totally agree with you there. No, actually, I'm just going to agree with you there. I think that the Apple Watch is a really interesting thing.
But
do you know what they want to do with it? I think I'm just guessing.
Okay.
I don't think that they want it to be a wrist watch, a wrist phone.
Phone, which they've already achieved.
Right. They're like, this is, you know, the Inspector Gadget, Go-Go Gadget thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. There's some cool features in there. I've always looked at it as an awesome gift to give, but not something I would buy myself.
Yeah.
Until the Ultra. Okay, so now
you mentioned on the air that you think the Ultra is super cool.
I love the Ultra.
And you love the Ultra for its battery life and its heft.
The battery life, heft, look, durability, and its ability to kind of do some emergency things where I were out in
emergency locating and stuff like that.
I like that kind of stuff. I think Apple is really wanting a medical device. And I've read a lot on this, and what I'm not about Apple, but medical devices. It's insane the barriers for success in that space.
Yeah. Regulatory barriers?
Yes, there's so many. And so because it is kind of doing this cross between, so that I've seen some other things. Like, for instance, it can do, you know I was diabetic for a while, and so I would do blood glucose monitoring, et cetera, and so forth. There is technology to do this through the watch.
Wow.
And they can't, like, the regulatory process to get that done is insane.
Yeah.
And so you have these barriers of health. That's why the health app is so interesting, because if you look at the health app, it's very robust. There's so much data that it can collect through an Apple Watch, and it's amazing. So I actually bought an Apple Watch for my daughter who has some health problems.
Yeah.
And so that we could collect data. So then when we went into part of her condition is it's just so much unknown about it.
Right.
So we can go in, and here we have this data that we're downloading to the to the doctor, who's like, oh, great. I don't have to get a device and strap it to you and find this stuff out. I'm ahead of the curve. So I really think that the Apple Watch's core purpose is going to be health.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be, you got to have it.
Well, we'll see.
But that's
what the headset needs. The headset needs a core case, and it doesn't have one. It has all these cool cases. I'm not saying they're not cool.
Yeah.
But they aren't must-haves.
I see that.
Go ahead.
I see that. I think you're right.
If I was a product designer and I could use and I could have a 20-foot screen to design my products on, and there was good software to do it, maybe that would be my core case.
Yeah, you know I'm really at my core case is
but it doesn't exist now. So
well, my core case is I really see it being productive in a work environment where you can kind of have a minimalist office. You know, I don't have to pile up the two screens and do all that anymore. I can put this on and have that experience in bigger than the screens and better. So if the display is detailed enough, et cetera, and so forth, I think that you're going to replace, because now, you know, I remember double screens were like all the rage, and now people are doing triple screens. So
yeah.
I'm
a tech positive. I think it's a cool toy. If they can think of a cool case, I guess I'll look forward to using it. I don't know.
Yeah, your company's going to need it one day. Hey, okay, so jumping to your company and your game. Okay,
right.
So you know I don't play games. Did you know that?
You play games all the time.
I mean, with people's heads.
Yes.
I'm just not a game person.
You're not a video game guy. Sure.
I'm not a video game guy. I'll do a Bejeweled here or something like that. Something kind of fairly mindless, but
Could you have found an older game to say Bejeweled?
I don't know.
I'll play the Mario, the Donkey Kong.
Just Space Invaders. Asteroids.
I'll play the occasional Asteroids. I'm not afraid.
Yeah. I actually hate Asteroids because I used to get like, I'd push the thruster just a second the and then I'd like, come like, oh, off.
Now
like,
I'm gone.
Sucks. Just kill me. Okay. So, but I was on the airplane and I didn't download any movies. And I was kind of tired of listening to the book I was doing and reading the other stuff I was doing. So I'm like, just mindless. I want to do something mindless. Oh, I'm going to Treasure Party.
Yeah.
I open it up. Yeah, it's legit. But there's one thing that
Treasure Party, friends. Okay, get it now in the App Store.
There's one thing that put me over the edge.
It
was just so exciting. And I don't know why, but it was, I don't know, a couple hours into playing this thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, the haptic response for like the bursting jewels are like so satisfied. I'm like, I didn't even realize it was happening until I was like, dude,
Well, what's fun about it is it's training your body too. So when you put your phone down, you miss the clicking and popping and make you want to pick it back up.
I totally do. And then you have that
so
dumb
fun
reminder. It asks, okay, can we send you reminders or whatever they call it?
Do you want to
play? Put it down when I was like, we're getting off the plane, and I get a little reminder like, come back and play with us.
Friends, we glanced over this in our last pod, but the game's going well, and people are playing it, and they're playing it for a long time, and it is producing the result we hope to produce, and it's providing a lot of joy too. You know,
it's fun.
Weird. It's a in the past I've worked with products that were media products where there's like meaning, where it's like a religious film or something like that.
Yeah,
this is not a meaningful product, but it's it hopefully produces joy, and it's a good pastime, and it'd be a fun memory for people that play it. So
yeah, I do like it, and I'm not saying that because you're my friend and built the thing. I'm saying that because I really actually want to play it.
Nice.
I'm like,
thank you. That's
it's
awesome.
Very nice. Very nice. Haptic response, though. Wow, that's awesome.
The haptic is really fun. So that's primarily for our friends on iPhone. For some reason, Android hasn't released a hap. So haptics are when your phone buzzes and shakes, right? And for some reason, Apple has a really refined haptics.
You call it mature.
Mature haptics tool set. So you can do these little tiny pops and these little tiny buzzes. But on Android, because they work with a variety of hardware manufacturers, they can't really control that in the same way. And so their haptics are really more brute force. So it's like buzz, buzz. So like we don't really have it on the Android because it would be overwhelming and bad experience. So anyway.
Well, how does that come about? Well, you're making a game like that. Who comes up with the ideas like, hey, I have an idea. Let's use haptic. Like, it doesn't seem like a...
I don't know who did it first. I know that they do it in Candy Crush. So when they have little things happen in Candy Crush, and we didn't have it in our game, and I observed that it was in Candy Crush and enjoyed it a lot in Candy Crush. And so I was like, hey guys, we should do this. And somebody went and implemented it on a weekend binge, and we came in on Monday, and everyone's like, I don't know, I'm pretty suspicious. And then by the end of the week, everyone's like, this is really great.
It's so satisfying.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying.
It's a lot of fun.
Speaking of tech, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Streaming.
Yes.
So it seems like, you know, there's Apple Plus, there's Netflix, there's Hulu, there's Prime, there's, you know, but we
can
go down.
Yeah, Prime just added commercials.
Yeah, they did that before.
No. Prime just added commercials for everyone, and you have to pay $2.99 if you want no commercials on Prime.
Oh.
That's new. Anyway, keep going. What are you asking?
What's the future? I'm like, everybody seems to want to start a streaming service.
Yeah.
I was
pretty negative on Netflix for a while, because I think that their product isn't... I think that their streaming product is incredibly good, but I think that their movies and television aren't that great. And so I was kind of bearish on Netflix. And it turns out I was right. Like, when they had the big correction and Apple TV and Disney Plus took off, and their stock went way down. And I was like, ha ha, see, I was right. But they were right in that everybody else now sees how expensive and hard it is to succeed in streaming. And I'm starting to get really bullish on Netflix again. I think everyone's going to be like, can we just give it to Netflix and stop all this nonsense?
So my sense of it has been, since it's kind of like fractured into all the, here's my library, I'm going to make an app, right?
Yeah.
I thought for sure Disney could pull it off because their library is so big.
Yep, Disney Fox, gigantic library.
It's the biggest one, and it's so weird that it's not working really well. It just keeps losing money, and they keep losing subscribers. I you know, we've talked about why I got rid of it. That's not my question.
We just got rid of it.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Good job. Everybody should get rid of it. I'll buy the movie individually if I like the movie, but I'm not doing the streaming. So, Paramount Plus came out, and there's some TV shows I used to watch that I really liked, and I used to buy them. There was a thing on Apple TV where you could actually purchase them.
But what's your question?
My question is, my sense is that it's, it's over. Like, streaming's over. I think that the streaming libraries may go back to the Netflix, which is kind of the old cable idea, which is, hey, I'm going to buy your content from you, and I'm going to buy your channel from you, and I'm going to put it on my cable bundling.
Streaming bundling. I've been complaining for some time, and I want to complain about it again because I can't complain about it enough. Because HBO was successful with Prestige TV, and Prestige TV defined as really high production value shows that are mature for adults, that are joyless, that are godless, and that are hypersexual. Right. That's Prestige TV, in my opinion, right?
Right.
HBO was made a name for themselves.
It's like the rated R TV show.
Yeah, they made a name for themselves doing it. Sometimes they weren't joyless and godless, but most of the time they were. So everyone is trying to compete with them, and it has been, right? So all the biggest shows that Netflix first greenlit were competing with. It was that Kevin Spacey raunchy presidential show or whatever. And everybody else is trying to compete with that. They're like, what if we made a cowboy show? But it's NC-17. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's doing that. That is the window for that is closed, because that's very expensive to make, and it has a limited... Because they're like, wait, why would I spend X amount of money to make Kevin Spacey's 7-episode show when I could spend a fraction of that and get 7 seasons of Suits and have it be the highest streaming thing on streaming right now, right? Okay, so here's the new data point. I have a new data point for you that just came out a couple days ago. Someone went and scoured the data, and all the stuff, all the movies that get watched are the big tentpole movies that got released to theaters. And all the TV shows that get watched are the biggest TV shows from network television. So if those are facts, and they are, and you're a streamer, what does that mean? It means you need to make shows, release them to theaters, and then premiere them on your network. Or you need to make TV shows like they make TV shows for network television. Most people want to watch them, not prestige, not highly sexy, not whatever. And like lots of episodes that you can go back to. And so I think the future of streaming is the past of television and film. I think it's big tentpole movies and highly watchable, rewatchable serial television. That's what I think the future is. However, I think that I can see that we're already overcorrecting. So we're going from prestige TV to hot garbage, low budget rom-coms.
Yeah.
Like really bad rom-coms, hundreds of thousands of dollars to make rom-com, not millions, and we're gonna languish in the desert, so we're going too hot to too cold, and then I don't know, 5 years from now we'll be just right.
Okay, so does
that's my pick. That's my
does
take.
The Netflix Prime and all the Apple do they stay in the content making business?
Netflix does. But they've already changed they're already making low budget rom-coms and a bunch they're making spy adventure movies, where the reason they're making spy shows instead of sci-fi shows is spy shows is literally people running through streets, so it's far less expensive to produce than like that show that you recommended to me. What is that? That's literally people driving in cars and sitting in offices talking. That's what that show is. The
whole
show?
Fool me once. Yeah. I wanted to talk about that. Let's come back. We'll come back to it.
Okay. I'm not crapping on the show. I'm just pointing out that from a producer standpoint, what is that show? It's literally people standing and staring out a window and saying, I don't know. It's so inexpensive to make. And they're not even stars. Right. Like, it's like people you've never even seen before. Right. Right? So there's we're going too cold. Like we watched one of another Zoe. Anyway. So who's going to stay in the game? Netflix will stay in the production game. I think Apple will stay in the production game because their current strategy is to sell you subscriptions for games, subscriptions for media, subscriptions for magazines. That's their current strategy. So I think they'll stay in for a while at least. Prime is weird. I don't know why Prime ever got into the business. I don't know how... they're pivoting to commercials based. If the commercial thing works as well as I think it probably will... then they'll probably stay. But no, I think that Paramount's going to get subsumed. They're losing money. They can't afford it.
I was listening to one guy talk about some Prime stuff that they wanted to put out there. And they were doing that. Have you ever paused a Prime show?
Yeah.
They have a really cool, like you pause it and it's like whoever's on the screen, it shows who they are. And then you can go there, their
it's
Wikipedia.
It's called X-Ray. And it's kind of who is that actor? I've seen him before. And you pause it and you can just see.
Yeah, I really like that. However, they were going to do something even more in depth, which was you pause it and you could like find out what's the brand of the clothing and the brand of the thing. And then you would go to Amazon and you'd be able to shop for it. Which I thought was a great idea, especially if you're like doing home improvement shows. Like you push pause, you're like, oh, this is this color is, Brandywise blue or whatever it's called from blah, blah, blah. You can order it on Home Depot, on Amazon.com. So I actually thought that was a pretty cool idea. I thought that's where they were going to go with TV. But I wonder if it's because people don't pause it enough or it's just not, it's too obscure of an idea, but I love their pause. And they have several shows that I really like. I love Reacher. That's a great show. I know
it's a well-produced show.
It's too violent, but, and the actor, the main actor in that, so the guy, it's just at least the way he's acting is just a stud. I mean, not acting as in an actor, but acting as in his personal life. He's like, faith-filled, good example of whatever. Okay, so to wrap it up, you think that streaming will go back to the old model of network television, producing stuff, then syndicating, and instead of syndicating to cable, you're going to syndicate to cable and streamers?
Yes, or, this is an important or. Or Netflix and those guys will finally figure out how to make regular procedural shows. Like, I don't understand why they haven't made CSI Netflix, CSI dash Netflix. I don't understand why they haven't done a new CSI.
Well,
they
did that with, what was that show? It got canceled on the networks and then they picked it up. Netflix picked it up. Not Lone Survivor. It's called, I forgot what it's called.
They've done that a few times, but they haven't kept doing it and they need to figure it out. They need to get to where they're doing it. Yeah. I want to know that every September I get a new season of my favorite show on Netflix. That's what I want.
Well,
they did that a little bit with sitcoms, but it didn't succeed. They tried that with sitcoms. They didn't pull it off.
I will say that that's right. I remember that. Last year, most popular stuff in English as of January, Wednesday season one, which was a great show.
Yeah, you like that show a lot, and everyone else liked it a lot too.
You don't like it?
I don't know. I didn't like it that much.
I just found it entertaining.
Well, it's a really cool art design show. I don't know why I didn't, because Rachel really liked it. Like everybody, I think smart liked it, and I don't. I just wasn't. It wasn't vibing for me. I don't know why. So,
The Night Agent.
I like that show.
Stranger. I don't like.
Night Agent is a great example, though. Night Agent is a great example. Why? Come on, that's a 7-episode series of people I've never seen before running around doing spy stuff. There's no reason I can't have that twice a year for 7 episodes. Just give it to me. Just do it.
Good too. Yeah, it was good.
No, but my point, and they're gonna come back with another series.
Have you watched The Witcher? That's their number 9. No,
that's an example of the stuff I'm complaining about, like the prestige TV, highly sexy.
I watched nerdcore. The Witcher. I actually liked it.
It was trying to go get the.
But I didn't like
Game
it.
Of Thrones folks.
Yeah, I mean it's. It was fun. I don't know, whatever. I don't really care that much about it, but interesting. Okay, so go to Fool Me Once. Okay, so you started watching it and you stopped.
Yeah.
This is a Netflix show. It's called Fool Me Once.
Yeah.
And I was on an airplane and I did, coming back and in between playing your game, I did download the first one just to see what it was like. I'm like, okay, well, I watched the second one. It wasn't so bad. I'll watch the second one.
Yeah.
Okay. So my question, why did you stop? I finished the series.
Okay. Yeah. So I picked it up after you reminded me. I didn't stop actively. I didn't rage quit the show or anything like that. I just like forgot about it.
Yeah. Cause it is kind of slow.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of slow now, but because you're making me answer, I will say this though. I've been saying it on the air for a while. I'll re-say it. I used to think that people watch shows for plots. And now I think people watch shows for characters. Characters. So why do we love Stranger Things? Do we really care about the plot? We sure don't. But do we like those kid characters? We do. We love them.
Okay.
So so on this show, after the first episode that I totally forgot the show existed, like, can you point to a single character where you're like, that's a great, I really like that person. I want to spend time with them. The answer is no. This is a plot-driven show. Yeah. So the plot is interesting. It's probably interesting enough to carry me through, I don't know, is it 5 episodes? Is it 10? I don't know.
8, I think.
Will it get me through 8? Maybe. Yeah. But am I dying to spend time with those characters? I'm not.
No, the plot thickens as
conversely,
you go.
Conversely, like Longmire, which is also on Netflix, I'll still go rewatch, even though I've seen all those seasons of that show, because I love those characters. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
Like, I miss them. I want to spend time
with
them.
I totally agree with that.
That's my take.
Okay, I'm glad you said it is plot driven, because I was like, oh, it's plot driven in my head. Is he going to tell me it's not? It is plot driven.
Yeah.
The plot has an arc to it that's very interesting.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I,
and it ends well enough. And the strange thing is, by the end of it, you actually didn't realize it, but they did build some serious equity in some of their characters.
Oh, good. All right. There's a couple of actors on there who are good enough to have characters that I want to know more.
Okay, so
they're not giving anything to work with, really.
This is clearly a one season thing, though. I don't know how you go to another season. Based on the way it ended, I don't know what you do with it. Because it's a story about the story is about this, basically this family and how it interacted with, you know, and how they interact with the world and how they interact with one another. But there's, you know, there's these mystery twists to it, you know. So I would recommend. What I liked about it was there was a couple of bad words, but it wasn't. It wasn't a constant assault.
Wasn't super racy.
No, no, there was no raciness in it. There was no super gore in it. It's just kind of an intensely plot mystery situation that has an interesting arc to it. So I would recommend it based on what's out there to recommend. I would say watch it. I liked it. It is a little slow though. I fell asleep a couple times, but of course I was binge watching.
So we have this thing that Rachel and I, we watch shows sometimes when we're kind of wind down as we get ready to go to bed. And
we talked about that. It's like sleep shows, shows
and,
to sleep.
And so we have certain shows where it's like, have you watched this? And we're like, no. And they're like, wait a minute. I think I think I've seen this. Like, we don't even remember. Like, it was just like 3 days ago. Like, maybe I didn't. Maybe I did watch this. So yeah, Rachel fell asleep to that show pretty hard.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Cool. Well,
I found myself weirdly invested.
Two or three episodes at this point. So I look forward to seeing the rest. I do think that the plot is good. I just wish that, I don't know, we'll see.
Okay, so I have a question in your list of things you wanted to talk about today. You put hot donut.
Oh, dude.
What are you talking about? Krispy Kreme?
Okay, so I had a good experience that I was pretty excited about, and that blew up in my face, literally. The experience was, so everyone knows Krispy Kreme warm donuts are great, right? So I went and got donuts from my favorite donut place, which is Stevenson Ranch Donuts. It's my favorite because those cats are just fresh and moist and just wonderful donuts, right?
Right.
They're not like Krispy Kremes. They're not just all super airy. They're like a little more bready.
Right.
But they're fresh and sweet. Yeah. Anyway, so I got those a couple weeks back on a Saturday, and we ate most of them, but there was two left on Sunday. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna eat a donut. But I'm like, it's a day old. Day old's always a little dry. So I'm like, I'm gonna microwave it real quick. So I microwaved it briefly and I ate it, and it was amazing. I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't know. It was really good. Like, it was genuinely, oh my gosh, great. So then there was one more donut. And I microwaved this one, and I don't know if I got the time wrong. I don't know what happened.
The jelly turned out.
I took a bite, and then the frosting on the donut was so hot that it burned my lip.
Oh no.
But it fell on my chin. And I had to make it like a Sophie's choice. Like, do I save my chin or my lip? Because I couldn't save them both. So like, I wiped my chin off just in time to not burn my chin. But by then, my lip was cooked. And I have this big old scab on my lip right now because, like, it was like a full blister. Like,
wow.
By the end of the day. That was just terrible. And it was like a 15-second microwave. It wasn't even like I did a long. Anyway, so that was.
That was your. So I don't know if you know.
I chose
this.
The chin.
Krispy Kreme, when they first came out and everybody was eating them, they're like, oh, these are great. They're a great hot donut.
Yeah.
They're a terrible regular donut.
Oh, so I don't think they're terrible, but I know what you're saying. As a hot donut, they're special.
Right. So what they did was they figured out how they gave you reheat instructions.
Great.
Because they wanted to, they ended up putting kiosks in stores and stuff like that where you could get their Krispy Kreme donuts. Krispy Kreme is a weird arc of, because from a real estate point standpoint, there was a time where Krispy Kremes were opening new locations everywhere. They always had the similar look. It was, you know, a great thing.
No, it went public. Back when the
investors loved them for a little bit, and then they just fell off the earth. Like, you can't buy a Krispy Kreme donut, you know, building right now because nobody wants them. But and part of that was because the hotness of it was what made it special. And it was legitimately, I mean, let's go the other way. 10 is the best, right? It's a 9 as a hot donut. I think it's
very,
a,
very good. I think it's very addictive.
I think it's a 2 as a regular donut. Like, I would not.
Just because they're thin enough, just because they're, because like in California, the donuts are really kind of thick and hearty and, you know.
Well, so my favorite donut shop ever, and I'm not a huge donut guy, but this donut shop, they do, I've talked about it before, but it's Lehigh Bakery on Main Street in Lehigh, Utah.
Yeah.
And they do square glazed donuts, and they are freaking phenomenal. They are so good. And I don't mind having a donut once in a while, but it's like a couple bites into it, I'm like, okay, I probably should stop. If I do 2 donuts into it, it's like I'm going to feel sick for the rest of the day. I don't feel that way with Lehigh, and they're good. Just, they've got enough substance to them, whether or not, it's not that they're thick. It's just that it just is, I can't explain how good it is. It's light and airy, but substantively.
Wow.
But
if
you take
a
Krispy Kreme,
I truly love a good donut. I really do.
So I enjoy it once I found that donut. And Krispy Kreme, I did enjoy when they were hot. But I don't enjoy it. So that's kind of the. Did you see this new place coming up on the old road called Dirty Donuts or what it's called?
No, I didn't. Where is that?
It's where the Jamba Juice used to be on the old road.
Oh, that's a cookie place.
It's
not a donut place. It's a cookie place.
I thought they called it donut.
Dirty
dough. Not, there's no nut to it.
There's no nut.
There's just the dough.
Yeah, it's a cookie place to compete with everyone's favorite cookie. I don't know why you'd even bother. Yeah, that's coming up. Dirty Dough.
Crumble.
Crumble.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Although, I will say that I think it's interesting, because that will mean that right there, there's a Starbucks, there's a ice cream place, and there's a fancy cookie place, and a bagel place. Like there's a, kind of a little hub of treats right there.
Wait, what? There's a
brand new ice cream place there.
Where?
The old location of the Chase Bank is a giant ice cream place. It's owned by one of our friends from church.
Wait, the old location of the Chase Bank.
So there's a Chase Bank right there, right? In the parking lot.
Right.
It's in a freestanding building, right?
Right. They
Before
left.
Before it was in a freestanding building, it used to be next to the UPS store in an attached building.
Okay.
That's an ice cream shop now.
And
there's like a line for it. Like
it's right over by like just north of the Vons or whatever.
Yep.
Oh, I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's
because the Starbucks left there and then may open their new building. Nothing's gone into that Starbucks space. Anyway, that's a treats place.
Like it's gonna be a little treat hub. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah, it's Handel's Homemade Ice Cream is right there.
Who owns it?
Sonnenberg.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's another guy in our congregation starting an ice cream thing. There's some fascinating stuff about ice cream that I didn't know about. Like there's a certain economy of scale. It's like the most expensive thing to do a good ice cream place is the ice cream maker.
Okay.
And you want it to run 24/7. And Ooh. The ice cream maker makes, you'll do like, oh, okay, we're going to do, you know, however many cases of cookies and cream, and then we're going to switch the formula, and we're going to do blah blah blah. So the ice cream machine's always moving, so that's why these little ice cream shops are hard to keep alive because they can't make the volume of ice cream you need, and the big ones you can have one machine that actually can feed several different shops. So it's actually, I didn't know that, but the machine evidently is like super big and expensive. Okay.
Before we go any further, I want to ask you, William, how you're surviving the atmospheric river.
What is that?
Dude, weather people get bored and they say stuff, and then when it gets clicks, they just start saying it all the time.
Especially in LA.
So we had rain last week, but like last year, there was going to be a big rainstorm coming, and then on the TV news, they showed this like cloud kind of streaming through the LA, and they called it an atmospheric river. And now every time we're getting rain, every single time they're like, an atmospheric river is flowing through LA this week. I'm like, oh no, what's an atmospheric river?
There's nothing more hyperbolic than weather in LA.
It's so funny, dude. We literally had one day of rain and it's an atmospheric river.
I thought when you texted me that, I thought it was some like, you know, river you built in your backyard for the trickly sound or something.
Yeah.
Atmospheric river. Or I, you know what? The other thing I thought, I used to live right next to the freeway and we couldn't open our windows at night because the freeway was so loud.
Yeah.
But then we got to a point, we lived there long enough to where it was like, hey, it's kind of like
the freeway's like the ocean.
It's kind of like a river. And then one time it wasn't running and we're like, what the heck happened? So I went out in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And there had been some like truck accident on both sides of the freeway. It was the 5 and it shut down everything. And it was like eerily silent and it was like making me creeped out.
That's the creepiest part of all those zombie apocalypse like premiere episodes.
Yeah,
is when you're walking through the city streets and there's no noise. You know what I mean? It's really weird.
They shut down the 405 at the top of the Sepulveda Pass once for a bridge reconstruction.
Okay.
And it was like two days, I think it was like a Saturday and a Sunday.
Yeah.
And people went out and walked all over the Sepulveda
Pass.
That's
fun. Oh, that must have been crazy.
And they took pictures and stuff like, yeah, right? Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like that is probably one of the most busy places in LA. It's always backed up either way. And people just, no cars, and they're all walking along. People had lawn chairs out there. It was pretty funny.
Hey, I have a piece of fun news. So in my service in church, I'm interacting with lots of very advanced age and have to start to figure out old people systems.
Right.
And one gentleman that we were helping needed couldn't hear, and it was a real problem. But they've made it legal to do over the counter hearing aids now. Okay. So hearing aids usually cost $3,000, and
they're so expensive.
And you go to an audiologist and they give you a test and they tune them perfectly for your ear and they do these little dainty delicate systems and whatever, right? But it's like, But for a few hundred bucks, you get 85% of that value. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. So we went and bought the $300 over-the-counter hearing aids for this gentleman, put them on, and he's like, wow, I can hear. And he's like skipping around. He's like so happy.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah. So just for those of you out there that are just like limping around and you're like, I don't want to go to an audiologist, blah, 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 blah. Hey, but get on Amazon and buy some $300 hearing aids.
You're kidding.
Totally not kidding, man. Like the first thing he said was, oh, wow, I can hear you. The next thing he said was, as they went outside to get in the car to go home, he's like, I can hear birds. I'm hearing birds.
Oh, man.
And then he got in the car and we were driving along and they turned on the turning indicator. He's like, I can hear the turning indicator. Like, he was super excited. So that's cool.
That's so cool. Do you ever watch the videos? I would do this on YouTube sometimes. Myself up. The people, like, they're getting cochlear implants or something.
Hear for the first time.
And like babies
yeah.
who hear their mom's voice. Yeah. Oh, man. It'll melt your heart.
It does melt your heart.
That's a good one.
That's cool. That's the positive side of some things that are happening.
Did I tell you my father-in-law is coming to live with us?
Speaking of elderly. I think you might have mentioned it. Yeah, so that's cool. When's that happening?
The 10th of February.
Coming up, yeah. 1 week.
Yep, they're moving out. And so we're in the middle of getting everything ready at the house. And we're excited. We're excited to have him. It'll be a lot of fun. I think it's a great opportunity for my son. And I think it's a good opportunity for us to kind of get to know him more. He's a good guy. He's a really good guy. Just an encyclopedia of like World War II knowledge. It's really funny. He just loves and it just absorbs that stuff. You could ask him anything about it. He does all these details. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
So hopefully maybe I can tap into your knowledge of, cause he always has got hearing problems. Do you know what's his iPhone when it calls answers in his hearing aid. Did you know it could do that?
That's cool.
It's like a Bluetooth through the hearing aid.
That's fun. I love it.
Which is cool because then you can actually talk to him on the phone because he does have pretty bad hearing. He was really funny because he used to take care of his mom when she was like 107. And so you had two deaf people screaming at each other. Oh, it was like a comedy thing.
Well, it was weird when I was talking to this gentleman because I'd have to like straight up yell at him in a way that I'm like, man, are the neighbors going to come over here thinking I'm screaming at this guy?
Yeah.
Like,
Are you abusing him?
But that seems to be sorted out. So, so for a couple $100, we get glasses, a couple $100, we got hearing aids, and we're helping.
What is this other topic? The new Chili's? As in Chili's the restaurant?
Yeah, the new Chili's. So I have a theory. So I don't know if you've heard that Mimi's Cafe shut down downtown Santa Clarita. It's being replaced by the Yard House.
Okay.
And some other restaurant is coming in too. And what I think is interesting is the idea of Chili's and the idea of Olive Garden don't go away. But every 20 years, there's a new Chili's and a new Olive Garden. And the Yard House is the new Chili's.
I don't know what a Yard House is. Coming our way. Good?
It's good. I've only been there a couple times. I've been there while I was a business traveler. And that's kind of what you'd think of it as. It's like not innovative American. It's maybe at one point it was a pub, but now it's like a full restaurant. I don't know what to say. It's like regular food that's good. You know what I mean?
This is where beer and food lovers unite.
Yeah. So it used to be a pub and now it's like
it's gonna be like
premium restaurant.
Yeah. Like a BJ's.
It's like a BJ's. It's exactly like a BJ's, which is also a new Chili's. That's a great example. And I just think it's interesting that people want to have a known experience when they go from place to place. And that's why that restaurant kind of thing works. But also people want a new experience every 20 years.
Yeah, Chili's had... Because I mean,
Chili's is still here.
There's still like Chili's and Applebee's, Olive Garden.
They're on their prime. You know what I mean?
No, I remember when Olive Garden was in their prime in the 90s. Everybody loved that place.
I love that place. And I went recently.
It was bad.
I did not have a good experience.
Because remember, it used to be like the breadsticks were really great and then they had unlimited salad.
Yeah, they just didn't have...
No, that part...
They've lost... It's the same food. It's just not... It's just not done well. It's not done with love or something. I don't know what to say. It could be me.
It's not done with love.
Well, I don't know what to say, but like when I get breadsticks, like this is a pretty easy don't fail. Like they need to be golden brown. That's it.
Like, I think what happened.
And I got them and they're like off white. And then they're just like, they're kind of gummy. And I'm like, oh, you clearly don't care.
I think what happens is it gets Harvardized. And you're like, what does that mean?
Well, then they
look at it and they say, we could save, you know, one quarter
if,
of
if
a penny.
If we bring this out of the oven a little bit sooner.
Well, like, no, it's even worse. Like they're like, we could just produce these in a warehouse and mail them to the locations. That's what's happened.
Fine. But the other thing that was weird, and again, this shouldn't bother me because I'm a tech guy, but it bothered me, was like at the end, they wanted me, I paid my bill. There's a kiosk on the table.
Yeah, I don't like that.
There's a kiosk on the table and I swipe my card and I tap
the
touch screen.
That's my problem. How do you tip?
They asked right there.
No. You know what I mean? Like, okay, well.
It would affect my tip a lot.
Totally.
Like, it's really weird. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Why do you want people to work harder for no reason? I'm like, I don't know. But I also, like, let's extend your logic if you want to ask me that weird question. Like, why does anyone have to work at Olive Garden? Why can't I just walk in and have robots serve me? Like, it would feel weird. That's why. I don't want it. You know?
What a weird. I don't like that kiosk. It's
restaurants are like one of the last human experiences. And so why do we want to, do we need fewer human experiences?
Yeah, we went to Texas Roadhouse. I was in Utah, I took my kids there. And Texas Roadhouse, they did the same thing. Well, you know, this is even worse. No, this is what the guy did. I went off to the restroom and came back. And they're like, do you want anything else? And they're like, no, well, he'll come back and pay the tab, right? So the kiosk, he prepared the kiosk for me to pay on the kiosk. So when I walked up, I'm like, look, I'm walking up. I could see the kiosk, but it's got my bill, like, in huge. Everybody knew how much I paid, the $83 I just bought for dinner for me and my kids. Like, why in the world? I don't know. People, like,
they've gone from the little book that you peek at to just like, hey, everybody, this guy just bought a lot of
everybody
food.
Everybody could see. And I'm like, well, that is not, like,
that's weird.
Yeah, super weird.
Okay, I talked about the low-calorie lemonade yet on the air?
No, low-calorie.
Okay, yeah.
Nasty.
So the last few months I've been trying to lose a little bit of weight.
Right.
I've had a little bit of success. It's kind of fun. But one of the things I learned is, like, you know, I like sweet treats. I do.
Right.
And a lot of sweet treats you can't really have low-cal. You can if you just eat in moderation. Like, you can have anything you want. Just eat one of them instead of 10. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's been my experience. But one of the just straight-up treats is, I love the fresh lemonade that they have at, like, they have it at a few places now. They used to only have it at Chick-fil-A. But now they have it at Chick-fil-A, and they have it at Hot Dog on a Stick.
Hot Dog on a Stick is amazing.
It's amazing. And they have it at Wendy's now, too. Which is actually just like sugar, water, lemons, with lemonade, right? But if you want low-cal lemonade at least at Chick-fil-A and Hot Dog on a Stick, they make it with whatever the sucralose, and they have like a little separate pitcher, and it costs the same, and it goes from being like 400 calories to being 70 calories, and it tastes good, man.
Really?
Yeah.
No aftertaste?
It's not exactly the same. But I've had family members say that it tastes better. I don't think it tastes better, but it surely tastes good enough. Like, it doesn't taste like, I don't like aspartame sodas.
That's what I was gonna say. Do you drink sodas that are
I don't like
diet?
I don't like I can't do Coke it. Zero.
Gross.
I don't hate it. I just don't like
what
it.
What about Diet Coke?
But something about this being juice takes a lot of the weirdness away. Not all of it, but 98% of it. So it's all I'm just here to tell you, it's straight good, and it's 70 calories.
As
someone who's pre-diabetic, you might want to get in there and have some.
Maybe try some.
Whatever lemonade. It's good.
What if that messes with your brain? Like, well, it's really sweet.
The only thing that's a little bit weird. So I don't know what it's like at Chick-fil-A, but at Hot Dog on a Stick, you're standing there at the counter, so you order it. And they go to a special fridge. You're like, you can watch the whole thing happen. So this giant thing of regular lemonade. But then for the diet lemonade, they go to a fridge and they pull out this little grandma plastic pitcher. And then they untop it and they pour it into your cup. There's something weird about the idea that this is like the special concoction for the weirdos who ask for it.
We're not going to tell you.
But besides that, it's good. I'm a fan.
Oh, brother. Should we talk about politics? I wasn't going to ask you about this on the air, but...
We can talk about politics for less than 3 minutes.
Less than three minutes? Okay. Fulton County DA, who charged Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like she's her name's Fannie Willis.
Yeah.
It looks like she's pretty corrupt.
There's some evidence out there that she's colluding and whatever else.
Right, so there's collusion.
But this is like...
But there's another thing. It's like the special prosecutors and actually outside the DA's office for Fannie Willis. And it turns out it's her boyfriend.
Yep.
which is a big no-no. So my question
it was her boyfriend when she hired him. I don't know, like, people keep getting into work relationships, but the idea that the work relationship started because her boyfriend is a problem.
It is a problem, especially since this looks like a political...
It was an adulterous boyfriend. Like, he was married and they were sneaking around and blah, blah,
right.
blah.
So my question to you is, you know, Trump's got all these different things. He just lost that defamation lawsuit, which is ridiculous, by the way. Who gets paid defamation lawsuits?
Be careful. She might be listening and she'll come after you next. I don't know. Jeez.
$83 billion? $83 million?
Dollars.
What, that's Look, egregious.
I think things are shaping up for Trump to, without having to explain himself, say this is an obvious witch hunt.
Right. Wow.
That's where I'll leave it. Is there anything else you want to say about that?
No. I'm going to predict. I think she's out. I think she's not long for this political world.
Yeah. But Trump's still going to get convicted in these other ones. And
yeah,
and
but it's not. I think Georgia's going to go away. I think Georgia goes away. He's definitely connected. He's going to. Actually, I used to think that he would get convicted on the stuff that they're bringing on January 6th in D.C. I'm not so sure anymore. That's not looking great anyway, either.
I'm not following it because it's all obviously an attempt to block him from being reelected.
Well, the Smith guy, yeah, and I think what's going to happen.
Like, no, he isn't, Randy. He's a felon. Fine. But these same charges against somebody in the other party in any situation other than an upcoming election would not happen.
By the way, can I make another prediction? Political
yes.
prediction? Hunter Biden will be dun, 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 pardoned.
Dead within 10 years?
He'll be pardoned.
I have zero interest in Hunter Biden. There's only one interesting story about Hunter Biden, and they're trying to distract you from it. And you're getting distracted by it.
What's that?
There's only one interesting story. It's not about drugs. It's not about whores. It's not about cocaine. It's not about guns. The only interesting story about Hunter Biden is, was he taking bribes on behalf of his dad and paying money to his dad?
Yes.
That's the only interesting story. And there is a ton of circumstantial evidence that pointing to that.
Well, not only that.
And we're all being distracted by the shiny objects, and they're doing that on purpose. They're on purpose.
Who's
they're like
doing
whores.
It?
Like, people on the left are happy to make you think about the hookers and coke.
Oh.
Because then they're going to be like, he's an addict. Do you hate addicts? I'm like, no, man, that's not the point. The point
I think that
was
that's
he
all...
taking bribes on behalf of his dad, who was vice president?
Yeah, it's smokescreens. The answer is yes. But I do think
the answer
it doesn't
appears
matter.
To be yes.
I think that it doesn't matter who wins the next president. Hunter Biden will be pardoned.
Fine.
And then he's just going to go away.
Don't care.
And I think that
this is all just so I guess you can hear where I'm at on politics.
Yeah.
We have two people running for office that
ran last time
that most people don't want to be president. And we're going to get one of them as president. And it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's be interesting. Very interesting.
We're in the movie doldrums. Movies are a little bit soft as we predicted they would be.
What's up with that?
Well, so Hollywood went on strike. Now there's weirdness.
There's nothing to. But usually there's stuff in the pipeline that they've already, you know, they're in the editing.
And used cars seem to be less expensive again. Starting to come
hallelujah.
Back to Earth. So.
Do you know what's interesting? You know, the used cars market went up so much. One of the reasons why insurance rates in California are so high is because the value of cars when they were replacing them in the insurances, they were basically paying out way more than the actuaries had ever predicted. So they were taking out reserves.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about it before, but that's the reason. So as those prices come down, that's nice. But it doesn't look like inflation is really coming down that great. And I don't know that
it's
they're
not
gonna,
because they won't raise interest rates enough to actually kill it. Because they're trying to get reelected.
Okay, I want to ask you another, just real quick. Mealy, we talked about this, and you told me...
The Argentinian president.
Yes, who is seems like a rock star
a
in
short
more
man
than one way.
With a tall personality.
Yes. You had sent me one, and you said that it was in AI, and we're like, how cool is this? Now, so can... I was just thinking about this. Like, if I'm an artist, right, and I have a music, right... And you're like, okay, so I don't know. There's a billion people in China.
Yeah.
What if I could put this into Mandarin and it's my voice? Is it just matter that the AI has to have a catalog of enough of your words to be able to do that?
Yeah. So when I was working in this space, which has now been a few years ago, they wanted 5,000 pieces of your voice to make a good AI version of your voice.
Okay.
And while we were there, we talked him into doing it with 500 pieces of voice, and it sounded fine. And they're like, no, it's different. I'm like, no, man, it sounds fine. And so now, so people like you and me, now we've got, you know, we've got 100 and some odd episodes of this podcast. So we've got 100 hours of our voice. Someone can for sure, straight up, easy peasy, make an AI of our voice and have it sound like us. You bet.
So you could deepfake it, but the other part of it is you could put it into a different language.
Yeah, and there are services now which will, in real time, translate the video, translate your voice to the foreign language, and translate your lips to match as if you were speaking that foreign language.
Is that expensive to do?
Well, it's AI, man. If it's expensive today, it won't be in 2 days. You know what I mean? Like, short answer is define expensive, but no.
So I've asked you about, did I ask you about this? Because AI is an interesting subject to me. And I'm like, what's the, did I ask you about this? Like, if you're the premier person on a certain subject and you've published certain things and you have it copyrighted and now it's on the internet and those copyrights are used to inform the AI's information of whatever particular subject, and because you're the premier guy, they're basically using your
information. Yeah, you can say, write me a legal novel in the style of John Grisham.
Okay, so is that plagiarism / copyright infringement?
I think that it's not, unless it actually... people are suing about it in the same way that you'd sue for a likeness, right?
Right.
Like if I had a character that looked like The Rock show up in a commercial and sell car insurance, they'd be like, is that The Rock? And that's using his likeness.
Yeah, I can see how that's wrong.
I think that there's some gray area around when somebody looks like somebody.
But isn't someone?
But isn't somebody? Because then it also, by definition, looks like themselves, right?
Right.
But I think that there is... But then you have to be very careful not to use taglines and very careful not to use, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating.
So I don't know. Like, I think if you actually use John Grisham's like catchphrases or whatever, then yeah, you're in trouble. But if you don't, you're not.
So I think it's going to be an interesting copyright issue going forward.
I'll go further down that road though. I want to go into the sci-fi land. And this is the thing that's tricky about life. We have come to experience life through screens. On phones most of the time, and on TV the rest of the time, or on computer screens. We've experienced life through screens. If what we just said is true, and that Randy Davis can give a talk, a 5-minute talk, hit a button, and have it go out in 100 different languages as if I'm speaking in those different languages, by definition, I have now put between me and the other person, I have put digits, right? So if I'm a hacker, and I know that Randy is going to do a live stream, it's going to go out to 100 languages, I'm going to be able to hack that stream and change what Randy says to be some sort of incendiary Nazi thing if I want, so that 100 languages get me doing Mein Kampf or something crazy, right?
Oh, weird.
The point of my story is we're going to get to a place where where the only experiences that we actually trust are going to be looking at your face 5 feet away, because everything that can be digital can be changed, and everything is digital right now. And I think that's weird.
It's actually a fascinating problem. It's actually forcing us to be face-to-face people again. So everything that we have experienced through the next generations are going to be, I actually kind of see that. Like, my son has no interest. He's 12 years old. He does not have much interest in his phone. He doesn't pick it up much. He doesn't even take it.
Yeah, I cannot say the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, he's maybe an anomaly, but I have seen my daughter, who's 18. She also is not. She's loves like the old stuff.
But look, I mean, get FaceTime with your friends and family, because that authentic experiences. When I say authentic, I mean human experiences are going to become a premium. They're going to become a premium experience because everything else is going to be experienced through a headset or a screen or a phone.
Here's something like that's kind of a dark sci-fi.
Apocalyptic a positive,
feel to
it's a positive thing though.
A post-apocalyptic.
The things that matter most are the things that you get to see in real life.
I agree with that. That is a positive sense. But the post-apocalyptic idea that everything digitally can change. Flip back to something positive. Like I'm thinking Superman. Okay. Right, I think if Superman gets this, you know, a load of crystals that are basically information, and he basically gets to walk and talk with his dead dad.
Yeah,
and the dead dad gives him kind of live advice. Like, how does this change?
No,
like,
dude, that we've already said that that's possible.
We have, and we talked about it a long time ago, but now it's even different, like, because they can AI your face. I'm fascinated with the idea. Like, how does this change the record you leave your kids, right? So, like, my kids, I'm not a great journal keeper, right? But I'm a pretty good storyteller. And so they're going to have stories that they're going to tell. And then they get changed a little bit to the next generation. So maybe I get two or three generations out of a story, right? Maybe I get two generations out of a story.
Yeah,
my great-grandfather did blah.
If you're lucky, right, yeah.
However, this idea that especially for you and I that have got hundreds of hours of recordings out there in the space, you can be like, yeah, what does dad think about this? And the AI talks back in my face.
Yeah.
Right?
That's going to happen. Like that, the technology for that already exists. If I knew I was going to die in 6 months and I was very worried that my kids wouldn't know what to believe, I could online all of our podcasts. I could create a 3D of my face with a computer science person helping.
Right.
And I could create a GPT,
that you could query.
That you could ask.
Hey, Dad, what should I do about?
A question, and then I could look back to you in my voice with my face and say, you don't need to worry about that. You're going to be fine.
How cool is it? I mean, I don't know why that just fascinates me. The immortality of a good person. Being able to do that, like going back and archiving some of the people I would love to talk to, you know what I mean? Like it would be a very, however, it is fake, right? And the human experience.
It is. And if that GPT gets corrupted, they're going to hear their dad say some crazy stuff.
Or, you know, I've changed from my 20-year-old self to my 50-year-old self, right? I've had some evolution. I've had some stuff to go on in my life that's changed some of the views that I've had.
Yeah.
So I don't think.
So then, do you want it?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's actually an interesting.
I don't think I do. I think this goes back to the post-apocalyptic thing, right? But like, I think the impermanence and the ephemeral nature of mortality. It's part of what makes mortality meaningful.
I agree.
You agree quickly, because that's a really hard idea. There's like people that will argue that they would rather be known forever.
No, I agree. Because
and yet you agree, and yet part of the process. The central tenet of our faith is to that we can live forever. But we both agree that we have to die first.
Yes. And I've often wondered about, I was listening.
That's paradox. That's a paradox. Right
yeah,
there.
There's a weird paradox. Like I've often wondered about, like they were talking about like the white slaves that were held as Viking rowers. Was it Vikings or something like that? They basically held them up in chains. It was just a terrible way to be a slave and all this stuff. And then when they would die, they just throw them overboard. I'm like, God is aware of that life, and they died. Like, what was the meaning in their life? Right? What was the meaning in their life when we go back and we kind of look at the movie of a person's life? You know, was it the fact that he encouraged the rower next to him? Was it a cat? What is it the fact that he, why he was there? It's like that story will be told at some point. And it is known. It's just for some reason, as we look back, I don't know, it seems so meaningless, but I think it is part of the existence. It is part of what it is. So, as much as I'd love to give advice to my progenitors forever, I don't know that my advice is always going to be great.
It's a very self-aware thing to say. Friends, this has been the Waystation Podcast, your source for peering into the future, life hacks, social commentary, and amazing stories. I'm your host, Randy.
I'm William.
Have a good day.